W62DR Oshkosh, and WGBW 1590 AM Denmark, W250 CV Green Bay.
ABC News, I'm Mark Remillard. The U.S. military is shooting down an unknown object flying over Alaskan airspace. Alaska Senator Lisa Murkowski releasing a video responding to the incident.
We're here at the end of the week, and yet another unidentified object. I think the message was very important today to say any aspect of U.S. sovereign territory that is encroached upon, there's going to be consequences to it.
It's the second time in a week the U.S. has shot down an object flying over the U.S. after the military shot down the Chinese spy balloon last week. Sources tell ABC News that lawyers for former President Trump turned over additional classified materials to the Department of Justice last month. The items were discovered as Trump's team conducted additional searches at Mar-a-Lago to ensure no additional government materials remained. Johns Hopkins University says it plans to end its COVID data tracker next month. The university says the data will continue to be available, but no longer updated. This is ABC News. A leak in a fuel pipeline facility in California has forced a shutdown of deliveries of gasoline and diesel from the Los Angeles area east toward places like Las Vegas and Phoenix. Pipeline operator Kinder Morgan says the leak was discovered Thursday, but did not say how much fuel was spilled. The company says they don't expect the shutdown to immediately affect supply. Thousands of fans have arrived in Phoenix ahead of Super Bowl Sunday, with more of them sure to arrive over the next day. The average price for a ticket, $6,800, but Philly fan George Polis doesn't care.
It'll be priceless. Priceless.
He says he even pulled some money from his 401k to pay for his ticket. Kansas City Chiefs take on the Philadelphia Eagles Sunday at 6:30 p.m. Eastern. Across town, meanwhile, in Scottsdale, Arizona, the owner of a Native American-themed art gallery facing disorderly conduct charges after he allegedly went on a racist tirade against Native American dancers. I'm Mark Remillard, ABC News.
You are never far away from your favorite radio station. We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. And if you missed your favorite show or game, listen to a podcast of it anytime on the app or our website, civicmedia.us.
The Rick Smith Show, where working people come to talk.
When we got back from the Working Class Heroes radio tour, one of the things that people asked is, what'd you learn? As you're going through rural America, what'd you find? Found angry people, and angry for cause. But the sad reality is they've been fed decades of outrage candy, and they're angry at the wrong people. They're angry at their neighbors. They're not angry at the very wealthy where they should be. Be sure to tune in live weeknights, 8 to 10 p.m. across the Civic Media Radio Network, and have your voice heard.
Did you hear about the vampire that was found? Headline is, skeleton of female, quote, vampire, unearthed at cemetery in Poland.
Listen Monday through Friday from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. for As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry.
A sharp sickle was placed across her neck, and a padlock was put around her big toe. Her burial reveals fear around vampires.
Listen to As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry, always on the Civic Media app.
I'm looking at the phone lines. I'm seeing some familiar faces. Once in a minute, Gene of Eau Claire.
Well, welcome back, Matt. I really miss you. We've been missing getting woke every morning, but now we'll get woke in the afternoon.
Once in a minute, Andrew of Detroit.
Professor, it's so nice you're back. We missed you during your vacation, and I'm very happy to be in your class for the semester.
Thanks a lot for calling in. I appreciate all my callers.
Tune in to Matt Flynn Direct, Monday through Friday, 3 to 4 p.m.
Catch Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow at its brand new time, 6 to 8 a.m. weekdays.
The city of Shanghai started administering an inhalable COVID-19 vaccine. I hear a lot of you saying the same thing I had in my head. I don't know about that.
As long as they're not just crop dusting everyone.
Crop dusting, that's exactly what I think people would be fearful of. I would not trust the Chinese government. I would trust people who really know about inhaling something and the good that it does you. Of course, I'm talking about Dom and Crute.
I'm 54, so basically, it's too late to start saving for retirement, right?
Not right. Starting to save, even in your 50s, can really make a difference.
Well, right now, saving seems hard to wrap my head around. Plus, with the way this year's been going...
Hey, listen, it's okay. You still got this. Just go to aceyourretirement.org. It's an online tool from AARP that can help you get your retirement savings on track no matter your age. It's free and only takes about 3 minutes.
I like 3 minutes.
Yeah, at aceyourretirement.org, you'll chat with Avo, the friendly digital retirement coach. Just answer a few questions and you'll get a personalized plan and tips to help boost your retirement savings. Tips that are easy to understand and tailored to your lifestyle.
I like that too.
Plus, it's sponsored by AARP, so you know they got your back. Just head to aceyourretirement.org and make your plan to start saving for retirement.
Thanks.
That's aceyourretirement.org. A message from AARP and the Ad Council.
We are the boy band.
Your tween made you see.
We are the boy band.
With Painful Concert number 3.
We are the boy band. We're 5 and 19.
We are the boy band.
Always singing on key.
You love your kids enough to take them to see their favorite band. Love them enough to make sure they're buckled up in the back seat. Show them you love them. Keep them safe. Visit nhtsa.gov/the right seat. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media. To learn more, go to our website, civicmedia.us.
Everything is on demand now. But there's something about that appointment watching of HBO that's still there.
It's also called the art of the tease, and that's how they get you.
I'm trying to think, what's my tease for tomorrow?
Kristen sets herself on fire. Tune in at 11:20, and then we'll tell you why.
Moving Wisconsin forward, one joke at a time. This is Kristen Bry with As Goes Wisconsin.
Yada, yada, yada.
Hello, Wisconsin!
Hello, Wisconsin. Welcome to the 1 o'clock hour of As Goes Wisconsin, the no sour, haha, power, funny hour.
It's changing on a daily basis now. I kind of like the flexibility of the moniker.
Yeah, I feel like it's just a basically... No, somehow, some way, as long as all of those words get into some sort of string of a sentence, that's all that matters.
Yeah, we'll go with that.
We will go with that. All right. Well, thank you for joining us today. No matter where you're listening to us, on the radio, on a streaming device of some sort, on your Civic Media app, or as a podcast later, thank you for spending time with us on this beautiful sunny Friday. And so for this hour, we are going to do some bleeped out trivia in the next segment because South Park came back. And South Park, if you don't remember, the 1999 South Park movie was found to have the most swear words of any animated film ever. I don't know if it still does, but at that time, it broke records. So we might do some other trivia about profanity in movies in the next segment. And then after that, he was bumped on Wednesday by the president, which I think is okay.
Yeah, I think that's, you have to live with that.
He understood. But Michael Sampson, founder of Swarm Events, and my husband, is going to be here because he has his first inaugural sports card show at Gather in downtown Milwaukee this weekend in partnership with the Bucks. He's very excited about it. I will be working the event for him. I don't know if I'm getting paid or not.
You're a good wife.
I would guess I'm not getting paid, but...
I think that's a fair assumption.
But that's okay. He does a lot for me, so I can do this for him. But he's going to come and obviously promote the event a little bit, but also just have a conversation about sports cards and collectibles and hobbies that we have. And, you know, because when we first met, he was already... This was his pandemic hobby. Like, some people got sourdough starters.
Oh, yeah.
Some people did banana bread. Some people redid their house.
Learned an instrument.
He got very into sports cards. And he is still very into sports cards. At any given point where I am scrolling through my phone, it's probably most likely that I am on one of the social medias. And it is, if he is doing that and scrolling through his phone, it is more than likely that he is on eBay looking at sports cards.
I mean, this is a whole subculture.
Oh, yeah.
Oh yeah, I've learned a lot more about sports cards just through him. But I think the bigger question is it's fun to poke fun at him, but it also is a very lucrative business if you can do it right.
Right.
As far as having the money to invest, how much something that at one point was worth very little money can skyrocket to being worth a lot of money. But it's not just sports cards. It's Beanie Babies. It's Pokemon cards. It's this idea of collectibles and the value that we place on them. So he'll be here to talk about that. And for now, though, we are going to return back to our Emily Post for 2023. And this is a list that was published by New York Magazine as 194 tips about how to text, how to tip, how to engage in the 21st century. They made the call on tons of different scenarios and what the correct etiquette is. And Jane and I are here to debate whether or not we agree with their call on the subject.
Is this the correct behavior?
Is this the correct etiquette in these scenarios? And so we are on to number 6. And I'm interested to see your reaction to this one. So number 6, never wake up your significant other on purpose, ever.
No.
Gut reaction.
No. What if the house is on fire?
I think it's for more selfish reasons. So they go on to explain, and don't turn on the lights when they're asleep. Jet lagged and want to talk? Don't do it. Think someone is coming to kill you? Work it out yourself.
Oh, please. Isn't that why you have a significant other? So they can confront the person who's coming to the house to kill you?
Probably. And it's interesting. So in my scenario, I'm a very heavy sleeper. Like, unless my mind, my anxiety is running high and my own brain will not let me sleep, I will sleep through almost anything. Oh. Remember? Almost a year ago, was it over a year ago, when the alert went out for almost all of southeastern Wisconsin at like 4 a.m?
Yes.
And everyone was so upset that they're like, well, why am I getting this? This is, you know, miles away from my home. And I think almost within the same month, there was a severe storm warning as well.
That sounds about right.
I slept through both of those.
You did?
Yes.
Wow, that's a skill.
And Mike is a very, very light sleeper and wakes up for almost anything. And so he had to wake me up in both of those scenarios. And or maybe he only woke me up for the severe storm because the chance that we would have to move out of our bedroom to a safer spot in the house, he may have let me sleep through the other alert. But
I assume this means that Mike is the one that has to take care of Cliffy, the dog, in the middle of the night.
Cliff's pretty good. He doesn't need to be taken care of in the middle of the night.
Oh, that's pretty good.
But I wake up earlier, so I, most of the time,
okay,
take care of him in the morning, even though he would love to sleep in with his dad. So, but I don't know. I feel like, I think I understand this so far that you, if it's just for your own purposes, let them sleep or be considerate.
Well, yeah, certainly. I mean, you're not going to wake him up if it's just, what do you want for dinner tonight? You know, that would annoy me if I was having a nice nap, you know.
Or turning the lights on.
Yeah.
Because we now, you know, everyone who has a smartphone has a flashlight on your phone. So if you really need to get in the room and find something, you can use your phone for light. You don't have to turn on.
After the show, I want you to show me how I use that.
Well, you have an Android, so we'll see if I can actually figure it out. I can certainly show you on my phone how to use it.
I think it's there somewhere. I'm not sure.
All right. So we're both in agreement that in most scenarios, you should avoid waking up your spouse unless it's an actual emergency.
Yeah, fair enough.
All right. Number 7. While on a date, if you find you're talking a lot, ask yourself, when was the last time I asked a question?
That's a good one.
That is a good one. There's no need to keep a tally or trade queries back and forth like it's a tennis match. But do at least be aware of how long you're holding the floor and take care to share it.
That's more important than I can stress.
And I think I totally agree with this advice. I think it is a red flag when you go out with someone and they do not ask questions.
Mm-hmm.
even if they're charming, even if they're funny, if they are not interested in you at all and they're just interested in your adoration.
Yeah.
Red flag. But the thing about this piece of advice is the people who do this, I don't think that they do this.
And I also think they think that they're fascinating.
Oh, yeah.
And why wouldn't everyone just want to listen to me?
I definitely know some people who don't ask questions. Or if they do ask questions, it's only so that they can then answer it themselves.
Oh, that's maddening.
It is maddening. All right. So we agree on that one as well. Number 8. It's acceptable to tell any kind of lie in order to leave a drinks date.
Wow.
If the conversation is so painful, you're considering making up a story about a sick animal, your date will probably feel relieved.
Wow.
It's acceptable to tell any... Well, and it's... But what if the... Oh, I would have a really hard time doing this. I'm... Maybe now... Ooh. I agree with the advice. Like, your time is short. Don't waste it on things that you know are not going to go anywhere. But I know for myself, I am, like, in my bones a people pleaser. So that would be really... I don't know if I've ever done that. I've let dates kind of linger on until it's finally, like, the Midwest goodbye.
I'm right.
Like, okay, it's time to go. And then I just do not text back or call back again. But I've never gotten up and just been given an excuse. Like, oh, sorry. It's been 30 minutes, I know, but I got to go. Have you?
Well, no, I'm usually a lot more blunt than that. I was.
So you won't lie. You'll just tell them this isn't working.
I think you're a wonderful person. It's been a lovely evening. Good night. And I mean, I don't have an issue with little white lies, but saying any lie is acceptable, I think that's terrible. I mean, you could claim your mother got hit by a car. I mean, who would do that?
But I, yeah.
If you have to lie, then make it something innocuous. I have to go get hearts of romaine and the store is closing. I don't care what it is, but just don't.
So what's the threshold? Can you lie about your pets? Can your pets and kids be pawns, but not your mother?
I don't think your kids and your parents should be pawns like that.
So it's humans?
Yeah.
Pets are fine?
Sure.
A closing store?
A closing store. I got to get fish food.
I also feel like the more trivial the lie would be, the more telling, and hopefully the other person gets it, that yeah, I am telling I'm obviously telling a lie, trying to not hurt your feelings right now, because this is not going to go anywhere, my friend. And so I need to go pick up tampons. I'm sorry.
That's one way to get out of it.
Like, I have a heavy flow right now. Sorry, buddy.
As I said, I think that would be an effective way to get out of that date.
I think so, too. Yeah. Too bad. Hopefully, knock on wood, you and I will never have to deal with that for a drinks date again. But solid advice. All right. When we come back, some bleeped out trivia. Stay tuned. This is As Goes Wisconsin. Take a second.
Warning, listening to the devil's advocates may expose you to opposing views.
It's scary. Maybe I'm coming a little bit more over the left, but...
Well, it's not left. It's good governance, Steve.
It's good to be exposed to different ideas, and I do appreciate that you do put that out there in the airways, because a lot of times where you just get a little soundbite of this or a little bit of that, and that's the end of it. You're to be commended for that.
Dave, I'm glad you finally come around to commending the greatest radio show ever, man.
Follow the devil's advocates on Facebook and Twitter.
Max Inc. Radio, we are local music with Pete from the Skin Tones.
Here, you have been warned. Not only Madison, the rest of Wisconsin and the U.S., Skin Tones, we're coming at you. We're going to be committing rock atrocities. We're fit. We're in shape. We are tight. We are muscular. We are attractive for our ages. And we are sexy as hell.
Listen to Max Inc. Radio Saturday nights, 6 p.m. to midnight on the Civic Media Radio Network.
What grows in the forest? Our imagination and our family bonds. The forest is closer than you think. Find a forest near you at discovertheforest.org. Brought to you by the United States Forest Service and the Ad Council.
It's easy to listen to your favorite local radio station anytime. Download the Civic Media app from the Apple or Google Play Store, then listen live or whenever you want from anywhere for free.
Here's your updated forecast. Lows level off around 17 overnight under clear skies. Winds out of the southwest, 8 to 15 miles per hour. Clear skies tomorrow. Highs level off around 42. Tomorrow night, lows around 24. Sunshine mixed with clouds at times. Sunday, decreasing clouds by Monday. Highs in the low 40s. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley on 98.3 FM and 1100 AM WISS. Right now, 16.
Keeping the Fox Valley connected, informed, and entertained. This is Civic Media.
To As Goes Wisconsin on the Civic Media Network. I am your host, Kristen Bry. Jane Matinere is on the board, and this is an interactive segment, but you got to act fast because it's only 8 minutes. So if you're watching the live stream, you're welcome to chat in there and we will read your answers. If you are on your phone, you can shoot us a text, 844-967-2789. But we'll see how well Jane and I can do in this.
I'm curious.
And our movie knowledge. Because were you a South Park fan? Or
no.
Still? I mean, it's still on.
I've quite honestly, I have never seen one episode.
Really?
Never.
I feel like you'd like it.
Yeah?
Yeah. I mean, the thing with South Park, and I haven't been I'm certainly not someone who's seen every single episode, every single season. But there is the social commentary for now over almost 25 years, because that show started when I was in middle school. I remember I was in, like, it was the late 90s.
That's amazing.
And I certainly don't think I got it then. But then as I got into my 20s and the cultural relevance of how they approached social commentary, right? And I mean, and they are also then obviously the legacy that they did with their social commentary on Mormonism in Book of Mormon.
Which I still have a hard time putting together that the guys who created South Park created the Book of Mormon, because I love that show.
So, and that's what I mean. I feel like you might, we should go, I'll in the same way that I'm going to make you a Rihanna playlist, I will go pick out some of the best, most poignant episodes of South Park, because they also have no limits of who they'll go after.
Oh, I know.
Like, everyone is fair game. I remember, I think a couple seasons ago, the hypocrisy of LeBron James, who does so much social activism in the United States, like for Black communities and for poor communities.
And for kids.
And for kids. But when it came to China, really didn't want to step on those toes as far as Taiwan and Hong Kong and
right.
Some civil rights issues over there. And they just blasted him as far as his hypocrisy for
so
that.
Equal opportunity offenders.
Yes. And so it is the 26th season of South Park that started this week. And as I said before, while the 1999 South Park movie was found to have the most swear words of any animated film, it's not even close to cracking the top 10 for all movies with swear words in it, which makes sense.
Yeah.
The threshold for animated films.
Slightly different.
I don't think they had a lot of competition.
Doesn't happen a lot in Pixar.
So can you name, and I think we're going to have competing answers, because it's when they say, can you name three of the five movies with the most swear words, I think it's at least the one that I, the trivia question I'm reading, it's not clear what is considered a swear word.
Oh, well, that's, that makes it tougher.
It makes it tougher, right?
It does.
Like, are we just talking about the seven?
Right.
The seven you can't say on the radio?
Right.
Or is it just F-bombs? Because I saw a conflicting report of the top 10 with just F-bombs. So we'll see how they compare. But
okay. Can
you, if you had to guess, what would come to mind as far as movies with the most swear words?
Scarface, for sure.
Okay.
With Al Pacino.
Mm-hmm.
I never saw Lock, Stock, and Two Smoking Barrels or whatever that Guy Ritchie movie is, but I would imagine that that's pretty far up there.
Mm-hmm. I thought Pulp Fiction and basically every Quentin Tarantino movie
would be
up there.
Yeah, that's a fair bet, too.
What else? I'm trying to not look at the answers that I have on my sheet so I can play this fairly.
Those are the biggest ones that come to the top of my mind.
And so if you have, again, if you have guesses for this, we will read them on air, 844-967-2789. Because I want to guess a couple more before we just go straight to the answers. Because there's also bonus points if you can guess which actor has swore the most across his his career. And for me, that has to be Samuel L. Jackson.
Oh, wow.
Don't you think?
Yeah, you might be right. I would think Al Pacino would be a close contender, but I think Samuel L. Jackson will have the lead.
I mean, he almost has a trademarked catchphrase.
Yeah, I know. We can't,
can't say it on air.
We can't say that. Don't make me move that fast.
I will not. But what else are we missing? Are we missing any gangster movies besides Scarface?
But you know, the old gangster movies just weren't that profanity
laden. Like Godfather, no. But I feel like if Matt Miller was here, he'd have a lot more answers than we do.
He could probably list off a dozen. What about the scary movies? What about the Scream series? You think any of those are up there? Django Unchained. Or did Django Unchained.
Yeah, that's a good one.
From the 262.
Like, it would be interesting to rank the Quentin Tarantino's movies of which one had the worst. Because I remember... this is a quick story before we get to the answers. So I remember in our like family cabin, it was like also my grandfather's hunting lodge.
Mm-hmm.
There was a loft that looked down into the main living room. And I was a kid. And I remember I wasn't allowed to watch Pulp Fiction. So of course, what did I do? I went to the loft. I looked down to see what was going on. And I don't think my parents really liked the movie. I had no idea what was going on in the movie. But I do remember a lot of cursing.
A texter from this 310, Yellowstone has to have the most F-bombs ever on a show, but that's TV.
That's TV. All right, so let's get to the top five movies for swear words, even though we don't know what swear words is defined. Number one, Wolf of Wall Street.
Oh, I turned that movie off halfway through.
Oh, you didn't like it?
No.
Oh, I loved it. I felt like that was Leonardo DiCaprio's best performance ever for me. Number two is Uncut Gems.
Which, and I've watched some of those episodes.
No, it's episodes. It's a movie with Adam
Sandler.
Oh.
I thought it was a TV
series.
It's
a very intense movie. Like a very intense movie. Number three is Casino. Number four is Jay and Silent Bob Strike Back. And number five is Fury.
Scarface didn't even make it?
Scarface didn't even make it. And then the actor who said the most swears in a film is Jonah Hill. So there you go. All right, when we come back, Michael Sampson is here.
From Green Bay to Oshkosh and Point South, wherever you are in the Fox Valley, count on us to keep you connected, informed, and entertained. Civic Media.
ABC News, I'm Mark Remillard. The U.S. military shooting down an unknown object flying over Alaskan airspace. Alaska Senator Lisa Murkowski releasing a video responding to the incident.
We're here at the end of the week, and yet another unidentified object. I think the message was very important today to say any aspect of U.S. sovereign territory that is encroached upon, there's going to be consequences to it.
It's the second time in a week the U.S. has shot down an object flying over the U.S. after the military shot down the Chinese spy balloon last week. Sources tell ABC News that lawyers for former President Trump turned over additional classified materials to the Department of Justice last month. The items were discovered as Trump's team conducted additional searches at Mar-a-Lago to ensure no additional government materials remained. Johns Hopkins University says it plans to end its COVID data tracker next month. The university says the data will continue to be available, but no longer updated. This is ABC News.
Hey everybody, how we doing? I'm Charlie Behrens, inviting you to join me Saturdays and or Sundays at noon. It's a horse apiece, whatever you decide. We're doing the Cripes Cast, where we talk to people for and or from the Midwest, and it's more fun than a six-pack of Jolly Good. Okay, the pride of Random Lake, that Jolly Good is. Anyway, it's on your Civic Media station and the Civic Media app. And do me a favor, yeah, tell your folks I says hi. Okay, real good.
You know him as the nose tackle for the green and gold, 1993 to 1999, and again 2001 to 2003, 125 games, 292 tackles, 7 sacks, and a Super Bowl ring. But there's more to life than stats, and there's more to life than football. You're about to find out. Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger, featuring Packers legend Gilbert Brown. Monday mornings at 8 on WISS and WGBW and on the Civic Media app.
I'm looking at the phone lines. I'm seeing some familiar faces. Once in a minute, Gene of Eau Claire.
Well, welcome back, Matt. I really miss you. We've been missing getting woke every morning, but now we'll get woke in the afternoon.
Once in a minute, Andrew of Detroit.
Professor, it's so nice you're back. We missed you during your vacation, and I'm very happy to be in your class for the semester.
Thanks a lot for calling in. I appreciate all my callers.
Tune in to Matt Flynn Direct, Monday through Friday, 3 to 4 p.m.
What is dedication?
The thing that drives me every day as a dad is Dariano. We call him Day-Day for short. Every day he's hungry for something, whether it's attention, affection, knowledge. And there's this huge responsibility in making sure that when he's no longer under my wing, that he's a good person. I think the advice I would give is you don't need to know all the answers. The craziest thing was believing that your dad knew everything. So as a dad, you felt like you had to know everything. You had to get everything right. It's okay to make mistakes. As long as it's coming from love, then, you know, it kind of starts to work itself out. I want him to be able to sit back one day and go, we worked together, we did a good job.
That's dedication. Find out more at fatherhood.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
And for today's STEM tip. Okay, you know recycling is important. No one wants plastic in the ocean. Here's a cool way to repurpose a plastic bottle. Build an awesome terrarium. Cut a large plastic bottle in half and fill the base with sand, pebbles, potting soil, and your favorite plant. I chose an African violet. Put the top of the bottle over your base and place it in the sun. Your plant will grow sealed in its own ecosystem. Fun, right? Learn more at SheCanSTEM. A message from the Ad Council.
Yo, this goes out to all the hobby enthusiasts. When I'm not at work, what do? I do sexy Melissa things that I'm into. They're called hobbies. I'm talking hobbies. Yeah. Creative, artsy type, that's me, all right. Late at night, drawing with my Pixar light. Gotta get the shading on my face just right. I'm doing a self-portrait.
Welcome
charcoal,
back to Ask Us Wisconsin on the Civic Media Network. I am Kristen Bry. She is Jane Matinere. You are welcome to join the conversation, especially if you are a sports card fanatic or another collectible item of things that you love, your hobbies and things that you like to spend your time doing. Or investing your money into 844-967-2789, because this weekend there is a card show in downtown Milwaukee, and the creator of the event is Swarm Event founder, former candidate for Milwaukee mayor, and my husband, Michael Sampson, who is in studio with us. Welcome back to the show. It's been since before we were married that you were on, I think.
Excited to be back. I'm not sure why there's no green room with potato lays waiting for me, but maybe next time.
Maybe next time.
If I had had more time, Mike, there would have been a borgesmord of Olays for you.
Okay, Jane.
So to set this up, I just want to tell the story of when Mike and I first met in fall of 2020, he had already been He refound his desire to be invested in sports cards. And it was something that you had started as a kid, but then you got away from. But tell a little bit more of how you got back into sports cards.
Well, I grew up with sports cards. I think my dad would kind of pawn, you know, my sisters were in dance, so they had to get all their dance outfits paid for. And I'm like, hey, what do I get out of this? I got to sit through all these long dance shows and watch them do their thing. And I'm like, he's like, how about sports cards? So we started taking me to Irv's Sport Shack in Muskego, Wisconsin, which is now, I think, paved, not there anymore. But we used to go, and every weekend he'd buy me cards. You'd open them together. And it was a special father-son thing until my sisters wanted to do it as well.
And then you didn't want to do it anymore?
I still wanted to do it, but they were breaking into our, you know, my father and son time. So what, they got dance outfits and sports cards now? It was unfair. I think I'd steal most of their good cards anyway, but...
So then, but then you abandon it, and then what made you get back into it at the start of the pandemic?
Yeah, I wish I never abandoned it. So I started kind of in the junk wax era, they call it, in the 90s, when everything was really mass produced. I mean, the Ken Griffey Jr. card, I don't even know how many are out there, but just millions from the 1989 Upper Deck. So I abandoned it during high school, college. I wish I didn't, because those were like the Tom Brady days and Peyton Manning days and some when stuff started to pick up and got more expensive. Jane, what do you think the biggest sale for a sports card ever is? How much money?
Boy, can you tell me which sport it is?
Baseball.
I will say $2 million.
This 2022, the 1952 Mickey Mantle card sold for $12.6 million.
Wow.
A piece of cardboard.
Wow.
So my dad likes to tell stories of how he used to put it in his bike spokes and probably ruined hundreds of those, like a lot of people in that time. But yeah, again, I went away from the cards during college and stuff, and then pandemic hit. I was bored sitting at home, and I'm like, what can I do to pass the time? Because I can't do events and get people together like I'm used to doing. Started pulling out the old nostalgia and sports cards and selling, and I had a couple friends that were doing it at the time and wrote me back in.
And it's not something that's gone away, even with the pandemic and the pandemic kind of going away and events coming back. It's still very much a staple of your daily life.
It maybe has half of our loft covered with cards, but it's fun. You know, just I'm saving for our future together, Kristen.
That's true. It's our kids' college fun. But I just want to tell this story. So when we first started dating, everything happened pretty quickly. And so one of our friends had been like, your whole story sounds like a Hallmark Christmas movie. And so I came up with the idea of your first Christmas present. I created a fake Hallmark Christmas movie, like DVD sleeve. And so our friend, Kelsey, who's an incredible graphic designer, we took an actual Hallmark Christmas movie poster, and the original movie was called Christmas Under the Stars. And I changed it to Christmas at the Bars.
So Milwaukee.
And we literally, because in the original one, there was like some other sign. There was a sign in the background that had whatever town they were supposed to be in. She changed it to Milwaukee of like up in lights. And she superimposed Mike's face on the guy and my face on the girl. Mike's never had so more hair than he does in this picture on this fake DVD. But then I came up with the synopsis for the movie. And so this is how it went. When Kristen, a comedian, journalist, video producer, moves back to Wisconsin after 17 years to save democracy, she matches with Samson, a handsome basketball card mogul, on Hinge. As these two lovable cheeseheads begin to spend lots of time together, dodge COVID while supporting local bars, and rescue a 10-year-old chihuahua, the couple rediscovers what matters most during the holiday season. And Samson teaches Kristen the importance of cleaning up her apartment. So it was something from the get-go, but now you've incorporated it into your business, which is you do events, and you have an event this weekend. So tell us more about that.
Milwaukee Card Show. It's happening at Gather. I think we say Gather in the Deer District or Gather in Deer District, right across from the Fiserv Forum downtown. Gather is the event space above Good City Brewing. So we're going to have 45 vendors, tables. There's a Milwaukee baseball team that's going to be coming down. I don't think I could say their name on air.
Oh.
But they're going to do a little VR home run derby. So I'm giving out free packs at the door. First 25 kids get some free cards. We're going to have some fun. We're going to have a lot of good vendors down there. Hopefully it's something that, you know, there's some great card shows across the area. Oak Creek does one first Saturday of every month. That's been real popular. But everyone can't make it down to Oak Creek. So we're going to post up in downtown Milwaukee. Hopefully people can make it down. Disney on Ice is also going on. So if you're coming down, prepare for a parking spot in one of the garages or over a little east of things by Water Street. It's always safe. But yeah, it's going to be a fun day. Hopefully I don't buy too much. Hopefully I don't bring more stuff home. But we will see.
Are you selling any of your stuff there?
I am. I'm giving my cards to Paul, who will be sitting at a table, and he'll hopefully sell some stuff for us.
How many different vendors?
So we have 45 tables total. I think there's about 25 vendors, including Paul and some other great people in the area.
All right,
Mitch's Card Shop from Mequon, AJ's Collectibles from Greenfield. So we've got some heavy hitters coming in.
Is there also going to be memorabilia as well as cards?
Yes.
Okay.
So probably some, I think someone's bringing a John Morant ball. Lance is bringing a nice Super Bowl Aaron Rodgers jersey.
So tell that story. Well, actually, hold off on that story. So you can buy your tickets at swarmevents.com/Milwaukee Card Show. The VIP early tickets are sold out, right? And so you can still get the regular tickets, 12 to 5, gather at Deer District. I will be there because I'm working, because I'm a great wife. But going back to this, the question of collectibles, because I find it this. And granted, I am someone who doesn't like to bet, because if I'm going to have my money, I like my money. Like some of the times the investment of these things, that's like, because you buy them not for necessarily the sentimental value of them. You buy them as an investment, right?
You do both.
I mean,
it's kind of like the stock market at times. So like all the heavy NBA stuff that happened this past week, one guy gets traded to a new team, his card value goes up. So it's just certain things happen in life that, you know, that's a good time to sell. Brock Purdy came out of nowhere and was a big rookie this year for the 49ers. He got hurt, but some guy pulled a one-of-one card of his in Mequon and I guess sold it for $12,000 right before the game that he got hurt in. So great timing. That card might sell for $5,000 now that he got hurt. And you never know.
Which is still a lot of money for a piece of cardboard.
Piece of cardboard.
But so that's what I was trying to say the other day when I thought you were going to come on Wednesday, is the how much of what's going on in the world impacts the cost or the value of these cards? Because all of the value is just based on what people decide the value is, right? No one's setting the price for these things. It's only a market that decides it, right?
Yeah.
So tell the John Morant story of that card.
The one that I got?
The one that, like, it was nothing, and then because of the
I mean, my biggest card I pulled was a John Morant Prism rookie card, orange, there's 49 made. So I sold it for $8,000. Now it could be worth 12.
But isn't that the one where the guy was in the background?
Oh, that one.
That one. That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah, that is a 2019 Chronicles card where a rapper, Young Dolph, who passed away from Memphis, was in the background of the card. So these cards were going for thousands of dollars. Just it was a heavy hype moment, and it's calmed down since then, but yeah, you just got to hit stuff at the right time and sell stuff while you have it. I mean, that's a card that was probably a $25 card that's suddenly started selling for $1,000.
So do you have a LeBron card?
I have a couple LeBron rookies.
So with him breaking the record this week, are we millionaires now?
No.
Oh,
he's a goat. You save that in a safety deposit box for you know, future generations.
Oh, that's for our kids?
Yes.
Okay.
So, Mike, for that card that had the person in the background and went up from $25 to several thousand dollars, isn't that the peak trade then? I mean, is the next sale going to be as successful as that was because the circumstances were so specific?
I mean, you're always going to hit a top market thing like a stock or anything. That's going to be the top benchmark, and it's obviously gone down since then, but you had that bunch of those cards. I think I sent up a bunch to get graded, and they came back, and I sold them immediately because market was hot.
So, as a person who is like, does your ability, your being like the general you, not just you, does one's ability to be good at at the game of sports cards, investing, and when to sell and everything, is it inherently tied to your knowledge of the sport?
Yes. I think you got to stay up on what's going on across the league and everything else. It's just like you know, getting news articles to prep for a show for this. I'm looking at news stuff that's happening online, forums. You know, there's a guy that just jumped in from Cam Thomas. I think his name is from the Nets. You know, Kevin Durant's gone. This guy's been scoring 40 points a game for like the last week because Kevin Durant's been out. He's a rookie. His cards are just through the roof right now. So a guy that was unknown last week, now his cards are suddenly selling for hundreds of dollars.
So a lot of it. So like, would you start investing in, so what is your portfolio? Cause I don't really know as far as the range. Obviously I think the most cards you have are basketball.
Mm-hmm.
Do you like mess around at all with baseball or hockey or soccer?
Depends. Football? I'll put some stuff into the safety deposit box. That's kind of my PC collection. That'll be a lot of the goats like LeBron and Steph Curry, Tiger Woods.
Do you have a Giannis card?
Yeah, of course.
Okay.
Giannis autograph card. I got three of his rookies. The best basketball.
How much money are you holding out on me?
Probably a lot. It's in the post note.
Do you keep them in a self-decorated shoebox or something like you would have when you were a kid?
I don't keep like my high-end stuff. I keep at the bank to stay safe because you never know. I mean, we have a nice alarm system at home, but we.
But it's very valuable.
You want to look at stuff too. So it's tough to find that transition between, hey, this card is $3,000 and should be in the bank versus I would like to look at it every day too because it's just cool artwork. I mean, that's what a lot of these cards are, just artwork.
So there is sentimental value to them.
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, all the ones that my dad stole from me, every time I see one online, I'm like, Dad, you stole this card from me when we were kids. Oh, it's not worth $12,000.
Because what did he do with it?
He got rid of it.
He just threw it out?
Yeah, he didn't bother to ask his son if he wanted them first. Oh, son, do you want your card that I stole from you because it was too expensive back in the day? Thanks, Dad.
It's a good thing none of us hold on to things.
It's a good thing Bruce doesn't listen every single day and just heard that. All right, when we come back, we're going to talk more about sports cards, other hobbies, and also a story about National Pizza Day. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
Talking like Gandalf. Okay. I just ordered some sick binoculars so I can bird watch and study these big old birds. Jealous? Jealous?
Yeah, you're jealous.
I like dreaming, singing, working on my posture, notebooks, planners, hugging my backpack. I like silence, karate, get away from my backpack. Everyone wants my art supplies that are inside my backpack. Get your own.
Never be embarrassed of your hobby. It's a part of you. I'm gonna rap now.
I got a tiny town full of figurines. I've been carving them since I was 15.
Yes.
It's called Emmaville, and I'm the queen. It's the cutest.
You are listening to your local Civic Media radio station on air. Thank you. Did you know we are always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app too? And if you miss a show or game, find it wherever you get your podcasts or on our website, civicmedia.us.
Hey, this is Jim Santel. I am the host of Morning Cannolis. Every single Saturday morning from 9 a.m. to 11 a.m., we talk about the major stories in law, in government, and the aspiration for justice in America. Delighted to have you join, call in, and be a part of our discussion right here on the networks of Civic Media.
I was just curious as to why you called it the Paul Revere Show.
The Paul Revere Show is named this way because the poem that we all know, the famous ride, the poem was written to rally the troops to fight slavery and fight for democracy. And so I named the show the Paul Revere Show because I thought it was the time to get on the air and talk about democracy.
The Paul Revere Show with Mark Thompson. Listen Monday, 7 to 8 p.m., always on the Civic Media app.
To protect his family from disaster, Steve used his camera phone.
Done.
By taking pictures of his important documents, Steve can always have them stored online. Learn more simple disaster prep tips at ready.gov. A message from FEMA and the Ad Council.
Here's your updated forecast. Lows around 16 overnight under clear skies. Southwesterly winds 8 to 15 miles per hour. Clear skies tomorrow. Highs level off around 42. Clear skies and quiet again tomorrow night. Lows around 24. Partly cloudy skies Sunday. Decreasing clouds by Monday. Highs in the low 40s. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley on 98.3 FM and 1100 AM WISS. Right now, 16.
Continue the conversation online. Find and follow Civic Media on Facebook and on Twitter.
Your sports team is vastly inferior. That simple fact is plainly obvious to see. We're gonna kick your call like a posterior. Of course you realize we're speaking figuratively. Our stats are thoroughly impressive.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry. It is our last segment of the week before we are off for the weekend. Happy Friday. Thank you for listening to the show today. But we are still here to round out and finish the show with Swarm Events founder, former Milwaukee Mayor candidate, and my husband, Michael Sampson, talking about his sports card event that is happening tomorrow at Gather in the Deers District from 12 to 5. So if you like sports cards, you should go check it out tomorrow. But I thought, first of all, your dad did let us know that he is listening and that he also said that Mike should have been more proactive and asked for the card if he wanted it. So I think I agree with Bruce.
I mean, Dad, if you're just going to give your house away, too, I'll take it. Here's me saying it right now. I'll take the house if you're just going to give it away and make it disappear. Here's me being proactive.
All right. Well, before we move on, because I do want to tell the National Pizza story from yesterday, but what is kind of just the history of sports cards?
First off, I want to let listeners know that there will be Pokemon available as well at the show, 12 to 5 at Gather tomorrow. So if you're a Pokemon fan, your kids are into it, bring them by. We'll have it all available. Quick dive into sports card history. So it started in the 1800s. That was a lot of tobacco cards back then. So tobacco companies were putting cards with their tobacco packs in terms of trying to get more people to buy cigarettes. So there's a lot of competition in that until about the 1920s when World War I started.
That was the 19-teens.
Yeah, so paper and production stuff's halted during that time, so it kind of killed the sports card industry or baseball card industry because that was the only sport that they were doing stuff for back then. And that didn't pick up till post-World War I in about 1933. I think Goody cards came out. That was kind of the start of the candy wars, the bubblegum wars with cards. So they had a quick run until World War II, again, kind of halted production of all cards. And then the 1952 sparked it back up, 51-52 era, 50s, with that Mickey Mantle time. And since then, there's been some fights back and forth amongst companies. At one point, Topps had the exclusive rights to having cards with gum in it. So then Fleer and Dunross started putting, who were also bubblegum companies, started putting puzzles in their cards and other things. So it's come a long way over the years. The latest drama in the industry is that Fanatics, which is a big clothing company, sporting company, has bought Topps. They own the exclusive rights to that. And they also bought, in 2026, they'll have the rights to Major League Baseball, NBA, and NFL cards.
So is that considered a monopoly?
Maybe, yeah. But so
antitrust laws get involved.
So Panini, who's making millions and millions of dollars right now, is losing their rights. So they can continue producing their cards. They just won't be able to put logos on the cards, team logos.
So with the when a card blows up, like a Topps card or any of these other cards, do the companies actually see any of that money, or do they only make their money off of the boxes they sell?
Yeah, they've printed them and moved on. So there's not like a
okay. So they're just in the game of we print them, we sell the boxes, and we sell enough of those boxes to be a profitable business.
Yes.
And then it's everyone who is in the game of buying them and selling them that can make lots of money if they get the right one.
Buying, selling, breaking is a big thing. That's been a takeover of the industry. So you'll buy a box online and you'll break it for a group of people. So one breaker will break. Yeah, I'll get the Packers as a team. So I get all the Packer cards that come out of that box. So it's a way to instead of paying $500 for like a hobby box, you get the Packers for $30, and that's your investment of the into that box.
Go ahead, Jane.
Couldn't you slide into the baseball maker's company as kind of an inside spy, Mike? And, you know, because I don't believe that all of those executives are not pulling a couple cards out of those packs. I find that really hard to believe.
I know. How do they track that to make sure they're not stealing things?
There's a lot of industry drama. There's a big breaking company called Backyard Breaks, and they've pulled, like, some of the biggest cards. There's one card that was highly sought after, the LeBron James logo man that had a NBA patch of his jersey from the three teams that he's played on, and it sold for $2 or $3 million. But everyone was looking for it, and they pulled it. And then they pulled another big card like a month later, and so everyone's like, oh, how are these guys getting all these good cards? Are the boxes marked? I don't know.
How would you describe the type of person? Like, what kind of people are we going to see on Saturday?
I mean, it's a lot of guys, what definitely dudes? in the industry, but it's nostalgia at this point. So a lot of people that, like myself, that grew up collecting, they have kids now. So you're bringing your kids and you're introducing them, you know, to the market. Same thing that my father did with me and sisters eventually. But, you know, it's a way to bond with your parent or your child, and you get to open packs together. You know, Bruce has already set some cash away from this weekend for me and him to rip some cards together. So.
Okay. Well, very fun. So anything else? Remind everyone one more time about the details for the event.
So it's called Milwaukee Card Show. It's happening at Gather. It's right inside the Deer District on the second floor above Good City Brewing. It'll be from 12 to 5 o'clock tomorrow. Come down, rip some wax, buy some cards, check out some Pokemon cards as well, and just get back to having fun. Watch Kristen's beautiful, you know, Kristen will be at the door to greet you.
It's got to be fun to watch the kids' faces too, Mike, I bet.
Yeah, I think Kristen's going to get to see that joy tomorrow because I'm leaving a bunch of free cards at the door that she'll get to give the kids when they walk in and stuff. So they get excited. That's what it's all about. That's the excitement in the hobby.
Well, I was excited last night when, in celebration of National Pizza Day, which was yesterday, Michael decided to go to four different Milwaukee pizza places and get a pizza from each of them. And for the two of us, he brought home five pizzas, including a deep dish, and we had a taste test. So you want to give a shout out to the different places that you picked them up from?
Yeah, so I think we determined last night. My favorite pizza in Milwaukee is Ned's Pizza. It's on 27th Street. The best story from last night was probably Pietro's in Bayview, which is probably number two on my list. Nice guy. Sat down, told me about the history. He's been there for over 50 years. It's just, you know, you walk in, it's like a folding table. You're waiting for your pizza. Like, it's great. So we enjoyed some pizza last night.
We did enjoy some pizza last night. We did not finish it. So, Jane, I almost brought you leftovers today. Are you a pizza fan?
I love pizza.
All right, well.
There's two full pizzas left.
There's two full pizzas left. And so we're hoping that our brother-in-law will have an appetite when he comes to visit this weekend. But Michael Sampson, thank you so much for coming in the studio. I'm excited to help you at your card event tomorrow. And that will do it for us this week on As Goes Wisconsin. Stick around for Dueling Tangents and the Chad Holmes Show on WXCO. But for now, thank you for listening. Thank you for calling. Thank you for texting. This has been As Goes Wisconsin.
Suffers with defeat. That theory's backed up by empirical evidence. We're gonna grind up your guys into burger meat. Again, of course, we're speaking in the figurative sense. What's the use of even going through the motions when you know that you're gonna lose anyhow? So why don't you save us all some time and give up?
Join the conversation with your favorite hosts or shows anytime. Follow Civic Media on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. Share your thoughts on our social media channels wherever you are, whenever you want. The Civic Media Network of local radio stations here for you.
Hey, this is Jim Santel. I am the host of Morning Cannolis. Every single Saturday morning from 9 a.m. to 11 a.m., we talk about the major stories in law, in government, and the aspiration for justice in America. Delighted to have you join, call in, and be a part of our discussion right here on the networks of Civic Media.
self-monitor your blood pressure in 4 easy-to-remember steps. Self-monitoring is power. Visit managerbp.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council, the American Heart Association, and the American Medical Association, in partnership with the Office of Minority Health and Health Resources and Services Administration.
You're listening to WISS 1100 AM Berlin, W252 DR Oshkosh, and WGBW 1590 AM Denmark, W250 CV Green Bay.